The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, available dual wireless charging pads ensure you can take on any adventure. Available H-Track all-wheel drives so you can take on the dirt trails and kick up some mud. Standard third-row seating so your whole family can experience the thrill together. Available dual wireless charging pads so no one gets stuck in the great outdoors with a dead phone. Whether you're tailgating out in the dirt lot, Carter Finley, shout out Carter Finley, or whether you're whitewater rafting, taking the entire family on an adventurous trip, maybe you're out camping at Mount Rogers. I used to go as a kid. Wish my parents had a Hyundai Santa Fe. The Hyundai Santa Fe is perfect for your family outing. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details. What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Pick Six Podcast, CBS Sports Daily NFL Podcast. I'm Will Brinson. I'm your host. It is Thursday, July 15th, and we're going to break down some quarterback coach duo rankings with Jeff Kerr. Make sure and check out in the feed. We have AFC MVPs and NFC MVPs. Like, who is the likely surprise MVP for NFC teams and AFC teams? They're nice jumping off points for a larger discussion. We'll also be breaking down reaction for the franchise tag extension deadline. Early reaction tells me it's going to be like, eh. But that's just because none of these guys are agreeing to any deals. No huge surprise there. What is a surprise, however, is we are finalist yet again. Actually, I guess it's not a surprise if it happened again. For the sports category, the People's Choice Podcast Awards. That's right. We're up for an award. We appreciate everything you guys do for us. You always come and watch our shows. You watch, if we do a live thing, you check it out, you stream it. So hook us up here and help us by nominating the Pick Six Podcast to go into the finals. If we win the award, the actual award, not if we get nominated for the finals, if we win the award, I will get a tattoo of Listener's Choice somewhere on my body. I don't care what it is. Somebody suggested it could be like a tattoo of Prisco. I don't care. We win the award. You guys can do whatever you want. I don't give a crap. To nominate us, go to podcastawards.com/app/signup. Again, if we win, I will get a tattoo of something stupid on my body, even though I swore never to get a tattoo in my entire life. The link is in the top of the episode description as well. So check it out and go nominate us. Let's nominate some quarterback and coach duo rankings now. Joining us to talk QB coach duos, Jeff Kerr. What's up, buddy? How you doing?
Yeah, pretty good, Will. By the way, I think the first thing you should do if Pick Six wins the award is change your Twitter bio to award-winning Pick Six podcast host.
I will do that. That is the first thing I will do, Jeff. That is absolutely 100% correct.
It only takes 5 seconds, a lot quicker than a tattoo.
That's right. Somebody asked me on radio on Wednesday, my buddies Chuck and Buck out in Seattle. Like, we saw this thing. They're like, our nominations, you got to get a picture of Pete Prisco naked on your bicep. Yeah, like Pete, like lean down or something like that. I was saying I'll just get a picture of Pete doing his little like radio show flex thing on my bicep. I can live with that.
Or just put like that and get off my lawn right under.
Yeah, all right, get off my lawn. Yeah, yeah. Hey, Debo, very quickly, do you think that the benefits of winning the Podcast Choice Awards or the People's Choice Podcast Award would outweigh the negative of having a dumb tattoo on my body?
Oh, I mean, I don't care if you have a tattoo. I'm rooting for it even harder. I'm trying to like.
Yes, I get that
point. Right, right. I mean,
Objective third party. As someone who has intimate knowledge of the podcast and my vanity, do you think I'm correctly weighing this?
Right. No, it's fair. Like, I definitely would feel better about like winning an award and getting a tattoo rather than like Ryan Finley winning a football game and having to get a tattoo.
Or not getting a tattoo, I guess.
Right. But yeah, it's interesting. It was definitely a bold call by you that I did not see coming.
Yeah, me either. let's go win it.
Let's do it.
All right. Let's talk QB. Coach duos and said that what were the, and again, ooh, actually, you know what? I've read the, These may surprise you. What were the qualifications, Jeff, for your the criteria qualifications? I mean, obviously, like best quarterback, best coach, but you know, I would assume the partnership has to play into it as well, right?
Well, yeah, and I remember last year I got a lot of flack, and I could tell that I read the article because I specifically put at the front of it, Tom Brady does not qualify for this because last year, going into it, he never played a regular season snap with Bruce Arians. And I even said, yeah, those two will probably be on the top 10 list after the 2020 season because I figured the Bucs would make the playoffs and I didn't think they'd win the Super Bowl, but here we go. And, you know, we saw what they were able to do. So they were eligible this year. Sean Payton, you know, if I would have done this list for like the last 10 years, Sean Payton and Drew Brees would have easily been top three every year, but Sean Payton has a new quarterback and we don't even know who it is. Is it Taysom Hill? Is it Jameis Winston? I don't know. So it was, you know, hard for me to omit him, but we just don't know who the pairing was. So it was pretty much, you know, longevity really played a factor into it. And, you know, 2020 success obviously played a role. So you had a lot of new faces on the list, like Sean McDermott, Josh Allen, Baker Mayfield, Kevin Stefanski, etc. And like there were guys that, you know, when I was doing these qualifications, I'm like, well, where does Dak Prescott and Mike McCarthy go? Because yeah. Dak Prescott, they were only together like 5 or 6 games, but Dak Prescott was on pace to throw for 6,000 yards. So that was hard to determine as well. So yeah, there was an extensive list there, but yeah, you were not eligible for this list if you were like a first year head coach or a first year quarterback with a new team. So like Carson Wentz and Frank Reich, they were out.
Sure. And I mean, you know, I think it's important too. You might not like Pete Carroll or might not like Pete Carroll's offensive philosophy, but you're not going to leave Pete Carroll or Russell Wilson off this list because Pete Carroll's a really good coach and Russell Wilson's a really good quarterback, right?
Yeah, exactly. Like you just can't do that. And I didn't look at, oh, well, this guy doesn't call the plays. Like Mike Tomlin, Ben Roethlisberger. Mike Tomlin doesn't call the plays in Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh has a new offensive coordinator. But that's not taking anything away from Mike Tomlin and Ben Roethlisberger and what they were able to do. It was the exact same thing. So, like, Sean McDermott doesn't call the plays in Buffalo. Brian Daboll does. So, you know, where do you leave that? Well, no, I just said, hey, look, I just mentioned, like, this guy calls the plays, but that doesn't take away from what the coach is able to do, and they're able to win games.
Right, exactly. All right, well, let's dive into the I mean, I'm assuming Dak Prescott and Mike McCarthy was the hardest one to leave off, right?
Yeah, it was. I seriously considered putting them at number 10. I just went small sample size. That was it. You know, it just wasn't enough. I have a feeling that those two would have easily been on if they would have played the whole year. Because I figured Dallas would have won the division. Dak would have had an MVP-type season. I'm like, okay, then the list would have been a lot more difficult. But it was just more of, hey, look, you guys just weren't together enough. Six games just isn't enough to determine.
I mean, they should have started 0-4. If they hadn't gotten lucky against the Falcons, and then the only reason that they were putting up prolific offensive numbers is because they were trailing by a bunch of points in every single game. I mean, if it doesn't say anything about Mike McCarthy that you can be given Dak Prescott, CeeDee Lamb, Amari Cooper, Michael Gallup, Dalton Schultz, Blake Jarwin, Zeke Elliott, Tony Pollard, and come back from down 20 points. Like, congratulations. Any human being on the planet can do that. You're just press no huddle and run plays. That's not hard to do. So I do think it is fair to – while Dak almost drags Mike McCarthy to that top 10, I don't think Mike McCarthy has proven himself to come back and be a good enough coach to warrant that, you know, with, like you're saying, with the limited partnership. So I think that's a fair move, but I'm sure you're going to get yelled at for that one, Jeff.
Oh, I'm sure I am too. I'm already getting yelled at by people for in my top 10. Oh, this team's too low, or these guys are too low, or these guys are too high. I'm like, well, what do you guys expect, like, for the first year, guys? Like, what do you expect here? Like, should I catapult Josh Allen and Sean McDermott to the top three over, you know, Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid, or, you know, over Aaron Rodgers and Matt LaFleur because you went to the same spot they did? Well, no, Rodgers and LaFleur did this twice now, and I am one of the biggest Josh Allen stands on the planet, and it was, you know, difficult for me to pretty much say, hey, look, you know, these guys – and I think six is – I think that is Brian. Did I have six? Yeah, I am six. And I was like, I think that's good enough. Like, I know why they're mad, because Lamar Jackson and John Harbaugh are ahead of them. I'm like, well, Lamar Jackson won MVP. He did win a playoff game. John Harbaugh is a Super Bowl winning coach. They are very good together. The Ravens win a lot of games. And look, they lost in Buffalo. That's not an easy playoff game to win. I know they love to slam Lamar Jackson for losing playoff games, but I didn't think he was going to win that game against Josh Allen anyway.
Right. All right. Fair enough. Let's get to the list at number 10. And this is spicy because this could, I think this is Jimmy, it's Jimmy Garoppolo and Kyle Shanahan. I have to assume that this is part and parcel a, I don't really love Jimmy G, and it might be Trey Lance, and they might be top five by next year for all I know. Is that what you're staring at?
I said to myself, and I literally put in the first line, like, how can you put Jimmy Garoppolo in the top 10 list of anything when he might not even be the quarterback week one? And
right.
Like, they drafted Trey Lance at third overall because of this. And I still had to do it because of their body of work. I mean, they did reach a Super Bowl. Unlike a lot of people on this list, it's Kyle Shanahan is still a really good coach. And in my mind, he's a top 10 coach in the league. I know the record doesn't show it, but when the 49ers were healthy, they were pretty good. And look, Jimmy G had a down year last year, but he only played six games, had numerous ankle injuries, which are just deadly for a quarterback anyway. And the 49ers were still 3-3 in those six starts. So it wasn't like he was terrible. And I mean, the 49ers were still kind of hanging afloat until Jeff Wilson got hurt in like week 12. And then everything just went off the rails. And I thought their biggest win of the year, and this is credit to Kyle Shanahan as a head coach, week 16 against the Cardinals in that Amazon Prime game that no one saw.
Right. I mean, look, Kyle Shanahan, I said on the top 10 coaches pod that I'd put Kyle Shanahan as like number three. And I got people yelled at me on Twitter for that. And that's fine. I mean, I would not flinch at taking, I mean, I don't know if I take number one, because that would be kind of, I mean, Andy Reid would be, if I'm picking a coach for next season, regardless of the team situation, Andy Reid's my number one. Kyle Shanahan might be my number two. I mean, and that's no disrespect to Bill Belichick. I think Kyle Shanahan might get more with junk offensively than Bill Belichick. And so that's why I would lean in that direction. So I might have these two guys higher, but I mean, the problem is Jimmy. What I would like is Trey Lance to come in, be awesome, and then you can just vault those guys all the way up to like the near the top of the list. That's the ideal scenario.
Exactly. I had Jimmy G and Kyle Shanahan, and I think I had him in the top five last year, if I wasn't mistaken. I am pretty high, and I was like, look, Jimmy G was tremendous. Like, they probably should have won a Super Bowl, and all of a sudden, Kyle Shanahan forgot to call plays in the fourth quarter, and Jimmy Garoppolo forgot to complete throws in the fourth quarter, and he was an excellent fourth quarter quarterback that year. So it was so bizarre, and all it did was just – make Andy Reid one of the top five coaches of all time and Patrick Mahomes in GOAT status because of those two. So, you know, I'm willing to give Kyle Shanahan and Jimmy Garoppolo the benefit of the doubt here. What they did in 2019 was good enough to stay on this list. And it's not like they were terrible in 2020. It was just the 49ers were hurt.
Yeah, I'm with you. And we'll see if they can bounce back. But it's like we say, it's you also don't want to put them in the top half and then Jimmy G's done halfway through the year because of either injury or performance, right? Then that makes you look stupid. Number nine, a very intriguing pair, because I think of not of all the duos on here, but at least of all the duos in the bottom five, these guys are maybe the most even in terms of Baker Mayfield and Kevin Stefanski. Clearly, Kevin Stefanski, a massive upgrade over Freddie Kitchens, which duh, I guess. But, you know, the fact that Kevin Stefanski came in and got the most out of Baker Mayfield, Baker Mayfield's skill set fits with the play calls that Kevin Stefanski wants to do with the bootlegs and the play action and all of that. This seems like a very even pairing. We don't know if Baker's going to take a leap forward, if Kevin Stefanski's going to take a leap forward as a coach, or if both of them will, and maybe they do, and the Browns win a freaking Super Bowl. But I think that these two guys feel like a very nice high floor. Does that seem fair to say?
Oh, yeah. I think their ceiling is tremendous. I mean, honestly, now the Browns got that playoff hex off their belt. I mean, the last time they made a playoff game, I was 14 years old. That's how long it was. And
yeah,
I can't remember when they win a playoff game, 1995, January 1st, 1995, something like that. I was six. So it's been a long time. They moved. It came back. That's how long it's been. So they got that hex off. Now the sky's the limit for those two. I thought Baker Mayfield was tremendous from week seven on in 2020, and pretty much my thing with Mayfield was how good he was in that playoff game against the Steelers. Now, I know that Steelers defense wasn't really great outside of Micah Fitzpatrick and maybe Cam Hayward, but besides that, Mayfield was tremendous. Stefanski called a brilliant game, and he wasn't, as I recall, I don't even think he called that game because of the COVID protocol. So, but still, what he did was that team was not exactly great last year. They were pretty much, if you look at advanced analytics, like a 7-8-win team, and he won 11 games and made the playoffs and won a playoff game. Their first road playoff win since 1969.
Against division rivals. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Against the Steelers of all teams. So, you know, they're arch rivals. So I thought that was tremendous by them. And they took Kansas City to the brink. And I know Mahomes got hurt in that game, but still, it was just a tremendous year for Cleveland. And those two definitely deserve to be in the top 10 just based on what they did in their first year together.
Yeah, no doubt about it. You know, the analytics you're talking about, you know, they were a 7.7 win team according to their point differential, which is concerning for sure when you think about the Browns being 16-1 to win the Super Bowl and maybe getting it back. But I guess when I started thinking about that, my initial reaction is the Browns can't be good. They'll screw this up. And then I think, no, I kind of trust Baker Mayfield. And I think I trust Kevin Stefanski to do a good job coaching that team up and to make smart both pregame planning and in-game decisions. I'm curious to see how much volume they put on Baker's plate. I think that can determine how high the ceiling is for these guys. They can win a bunch of games with running and defense for sure. But when your push comes to shove, can they get into that shootout like they did against Baltimore on that big Monday night game? And can they win games like that if they have to, if the defense for some reason isn't great this year? At number eight, staying in the same division. This one was probably getting you yelled at by both sides. People who think the quarterback's too high and the coach is too low. Ben Roethlisberger and Mike Tomlin.
Yeah, and I basically looked at it like this. The Steelers are 3-6 since they last won the Super Bowl in the playoffs. That's pretty well. And look, based on reputation, those two probably deserve to be higher. I mean, he has a championship. He has two championships. Tomlin has a championship. But I had to look at recent performance here, and they probably would be much higher if they weren't the first 11-0 team never to make the divisional round of the playoffs, which you got to blame the head coach for that. He never righted the ship. Their big win was coming back against the Indianapolis Colts, or they would have finished 11-5. I just don't know what to make of these two. Ben had a really good year, but they fired their offensive coordinator. Tomlin couldn't get the ship fixed. And this just seems to be a pattern in Pittsburgh now, these late-season collapses. It happened with the Antonio Brown saga. Now, Antonio Brown is a whole different story, but still, he wasn't on the field in that crucial Week 17 game a couple years ago. It's really frustrating with Pittsburgh because these two are so good, and I still think Ben has something left in the tank. And I know Tomlin's a good coach. He's never had a losing season. And he has the most wins for any coach after his first, 12 years. I think he's tied with Shula or something like that. So, again, great coach, Hall of Fame quarterback. Tomlin's probably going to be a Hall of Fame coach when it's all said and done. But, is eighth disrespectful? Not according to this ranking. I mean, but these two can – clearly, if they go to the AFC Championship game this year, they clearly go up because that means they made a deep playoff run.
Yeah, I think the problem with this is as much as you may and you know what, some of the other part of it too is sometimes I think it's harder to elevate a coach on the defensive side of the ball, maybe with a quarterback, right? Because you're not talking about Kevin Stefanski and Baker Mayfield are working. It feels like they're working more hand in hand, right? Whereas Ben Roethlisberger, Mike Tomlin's more of a CEO than he is, heavily. It's not like he's grinding on the offensive game plan with Ben Roethlisberger, 7 days a week. I'm not saying that Stefanski is doing that. They have an offensive coordinator. I just mean it feels a little easier to promote, to elevate an offensive head coach on these lists. The other thing too, Roethlisberger's old. Once again, here we are in the offseason, and he's leaking out stuff about his diet and how he's in the best shape of his life. No, that's not true. I'm trying to take my diet more seriously. I'm not in the best shape of my life. You know why? Because you're 40, Ben. You ain't in the best shape of your life. That's not how it works. No one gets to 40 and magically becomes in the best shape of their life. I'm sorry. It doesn't happen. You were in the much better shape when you were 22, even if you were guzzling Yingling all offseason long instead of whatever. He's taking his diet more seriously than Tom Brady. What are we talking about here? What on earth? Anyway, sorry. That was a 40-year-old.
Hey, I'm 32. I still say I'm in the best shape of my life. I'm definitely in better shape than I was when I was 22. I'll say that.
Oh, yeah, I am too, actually. So, but not. I mean, well, I was in really bad shape at 22. But my point being is that, you can get back. Anyway, I don't know. Yeah, I don't buy all the hubbaloo about Ben Roethlisberger's diet suddenly changing everything. At number seven, maybe an underrated duo, but seven is still very high. Ryan Tannehill and Mike Vrabel. Tannehill, by the way, quietly coming off a 33-touchdown season last year and starting to, I think, kind of become a top 10 quarterback.
Top 10. If you look at some of the stats, he's top five.
Sure.
Based on the stats I presented, yards per attempt, fourth quarter comebacks. I know that's, here and there, but it's still an impressive stat. I mean, touchdown interception ratio, touchdown percentage. Ryan Tannehill's up there. It's, you know, and I actually thought he elevated Brable a bit just because, you know, of what he's done since week 7 of the 2019 season. I mean, Tennessee is like number one in like 50-yard plays. They're one of the – they have the most touchdowns in the league since Tannehill became the starter. It's honestly incredible what they're able to do. Everybody loves to say, oh, Derrick Henry. I think it goes both ways. I think Ryan Tannehill has made Derrick Henry that much better.
I agree completely. I don't think that – I mean, I think it's a symbiotic relationship. You know, like having Derrick Henry helps Ryan Tannehill because Ryan Tannehill is able to go up top with play action because teams are trying to stack the box and stop this behemoth from running over them, you know, for 250 yards. But at the same time, you know, when you have A.J. Brown and Ryan Tannehill there, it forces defenses to be honest, and they can't completely load the box up. And that's, you know, when Marcus Mariota was playing quarterback, the Titans weren't good, and Henry wasn't this dominant force that he is right now. So, yeah, I agree completely. And I think that Mike Vrabel is – first of all, he de-pants Bill Belichick in a game using a little hoodwink thing that Belichick had dropped on Gase. Remember the whole take a penalty, nope, decline.
Belichick,
take a
penalty, Belichick. Nope.
Yeah, he got Belichick on it. I mean, if you're outsmarting Bill Belichick in a game, then I'm giving you credit. I think Mike Vrabel sort of slides under the radar as a smart in-game coach, and certainly as a master motivator. Dude promised to cut his TT off if his team wins.
That's why I was rooting for the Titans to win the Super Bowl. I kind of want to see if he actually lives up to that, or if he's like Dan Campbell and it's just a bunch of horse crap.
Well, yeah, it's like, look, I'm telling you, we win this podcast award, tattoo. No jokes about it. Not going to cut anything off, but tattoo. At number six, you mentioned you got yelled at for this, but six is pretty good. Josh Allen and Sean McDermott of the Buffalo Bills. McDermott has been to the playoffs 3 of his 4 years with the Bills. That's unheard of. He doesn't get enough credit. And I think, you know, you and Debo too, as Eagles fans, and we mentioned this before the show started, we were talking about Jim Johnson. And when Jim Johnson died, the guy put in charge, told to take over for him, his mentee, his protege, was Sean McDermott. And McDermott came in and the defenses were fine, but they weren't elite. And so people kind of lost their minds. Andy Reid fires him for Juan Castillo, the offensive line coach, and then Sean McDermott takes him out of – isn't that right? Isn't that what happened?
Yeah, that's exactly what happened. You know, I blame David Akers for Sean McDermott's firing. He missed 2 field goals in that wild card game.
There you go. I mean, McDermott resurfaced with the Panthers because Ron Rivera knew him from, you know, all the coaching stuff.
With the Eagles.
Yeah, with the Eagles, exactly right. And Rivera picked him up. He was a great coach there. He moves to Buffalo, and you know, he and Brandon Bean have really put together this what I think is one of the best rosters in football. I could see making the case to have him higher, but I also understand that when you start going through the five guys in front of him, that maybe that's just too hard.
Yeah, and that's what it was. It's like, if we're just going all strictly 2020, Josh Allen and Sean McDermott are in the top five. There's no doubt about that. And Sean McDermott's already put up an impressive resume for himself. Like you said, Will, you know, who takes the Bills to the playoffs 3 times in 4 years? I don't even think the Bills made the playoffs times since 1995 before that. That's just criminally insane. And they haven't had a quarterback as good as Josh Allen since Jim Kelly. And Josh Allen just shattered all of Jim Kelly's records. He's the total package quarterback, and I don't think it was a one-year fluke either. I think this is just the start of something big for this guy, and what the Bills have been able to do to put weapons around him is incredible. If they had a running game, I can't imagine how good Josh Allen would be. He doesn't have to be their running game or, you know, that X factor. He can be that quarterback who just stays in the pocket and takes off on occasion, not because he has to. And I'm so excited for what those two could do this year with a first place schedule. It looks like they're going to run this division. You know, Stephon Diggs is just going to be better. I'm kind of hoping that they get a better tight end than what they got. You know, Zach Ertz would be nice there. I really don't know if he's going to leave Philly, but you know, we'll see. But at the end of the day, it's that team's just loaded on both sides of the ball. And the Bills defense wasn't even that great last year. Like, their run defense is terrible. I expect them to get that fixed. I would not be surprised to see him in L.A. in February.
Not at all. I mean, I think picking the Bills to win the Super Bowl is a good call. There's a pretty good chance Week 5 is undefeated Buffalo at undefeated Kansas City on Sunday Night Football. And it's a real shame that game ended on CBS, but obviously the NFL understood that it would be pretty good Sunday Night Football. I've been saying the Bills, I think the Bills over, and I got a 10.5 juice, like 130 or something like that, is the best bet of the offseason. This team is winning 13 or 14 games unless Josh Allen just completely collapses and or gets hurt. And I don't think that's the case. Sean McDermott, an awesome coach. And I don't blame you for having them this high after the break. Why are they that low? We'll tell you next.
The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at newbalance.com.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
So at number five, and this is where you got to figure out who it, would you definitely take Lamar Jackson and John Harbaugh over Josh Allen and Sean McDermott? You did, Jeff, at your number five spot. Is that sort of a nod to longevity, the MVP season? Like, look, these guys have done this. You know, even if Lamar Jackson came in at the same time as Josh Allen, he's had more on-field success than Allen. I think people might take Allen right now, but I don't know that you're definitely taking John Harbaugh over Sean McDermott. I mean, Sean McDermott over John Harbaugh.
That's pretty much what I did. I flip-flopped it, you know, and it was, okay, the Bills beat them last year, and I mentioned that, but look, Lamar Jackson has an MVP award. He is probably one of the greatest individual seasons for a player in NFL history. What quarterback runs for 1,200 yards, leads the league in touchdown passes? Lamar Jackson. That's the guy who did it. You know, that 2019 season was just absolutely incredible, and it was a travesty that Lamar Jackson had to throw 50-plus passes in a playoff game because all of a sudden the Ravens' run-first offense decided not to run the football. And look, they won 14 games that year. They were really good. They were still really good last year. They went into Tennessee. I didn't think they were going to win that playoff game last year because I thought, you know, okay, Vrabel and Tannehill, these guys know how to make deep playoff runs. And Lamar just had an incredible game running the football, throwing the football. He was okay. But still, though, him and Colin Kaepernick are the only two quarterbacks to run for 130 yards in a playoff game twice. And Lamar just kind of put the city of Nashville to sleep for once. And, yeah. So, again, you got to give that guy credit for that. And, you know, John Harbaugh is the most road playoff wins for any coach ever, has a Super Bowl. That's a dangerous combination. They win a lot of playoff games. Not the two of them together, but John Harbaugh's won a lot of playoff games. He's been around the league. He's a disciple of Andy Reid. You know, it's funny. A lot of these coaches are disciples of Andy Reid in this quarterback-coach duo, and they all have a pretty good quarterback. So, yeah, I got to give – Lamar Jackson and John Harbaugh some credit here. It was definitely longevity for sure. And look, if Lamar Jackson hoists the Vince Lombardi trophy this year, no one should be surprised.
No. I think it's kind of interesting that so in 2018, Patrick Mahomes wins the MVP, 50 touchdowns, 9.6 yards per attempt, 80.3 QBR. I'm listing all these stats at 22 approximate value that led the NFL, 5,000 passing yards, somehow didn't lead the NFL with that. And then the following season, you know, he only throws for 26 touchdowns and, you know, five picks. Very efficient season. His yards per attempt dropped 0.5, and his QBR drops a couple of points, right? Nobody blinks an eye. Well, Lamar Jackson threw for 26 touchdowns and nine picks. His yards per attempt dropped a half a point. His QBR dropped a couple of points. And people are like, regression! It's regression! Like, I'm not saying that Lamar Jackson is as good as Patrick Mahomes. Nobody is. When you lead the league in passing touchdowns and you rush for 1,000 yards and you lead the league, or he didn't lead the league in yards per attempt, excuse me, but when you lead the league in approximate value, there's a decent chance your stats are going to regress to the mean. Regress isn't bad. It just means normalize a lot of times. And I think people forgot that with Lamar Jackson last year. He's sort of being undervalued this season, I think, because it's totally possible that he comes out. Remember, this team didn't rock it with a first place schedule this year. They could come out, light things up again, and people will be like, "Oh, Lamar Jackson's still an MVP caliber player." So I think it people just don't like Lamar Jackson quite as much as Patrick Mahomes, and that's part of why you see the jumping on and the regression, and he's ranked eighth or ninth in terms of quarterbacks.
Well, we all know why they don't like Lamar Jackson, because they were wrong about Lamar Jackson. That's why they don't like him.
That's exactly all it is.
It's they're wrong.
That's 100% what it is. Yeah, he wasn't accurate in college. He can't work in the pros. So now you, Susie's falters, you dog him. Next up at number four, Russ Wilson and Pete Carroll. I feel like Seahawks fans would simultaneously, I think they'd be okay with the number four rank for Russ. Most Seahawks fans probably be mad that Pete Carroll is this high, though.
But you got to look at the body of work. I mean, they did win 12 games last year. They won the NFC West. I picked them to go to Super Bowl in August, and it was looking really good until John Wolford, of all people, showed up. And I still think if there were fans in that game, the Rams do not beat them. I thought home field advantage was crucial for them. But Seattle is just – I kept thinking their running game was going to emerge last year, and it never really did. It was I think they were banking on Rashad Penny coming back in November. Never happened. You know, he kind of – was an afterthought there. Chris Carson got hurt. He's always hurt. And, you know, Carlos Hyde wasn't what they thought he was, and they just let Russ cook a little too much. And it ended up biting them, honestly. Like, they were probably one of the best teams in the first half of the year, and they kind of just – I mean, they lost to the Giants. I still don't know how that happened. They lost to the Giants in Seattle. I don't know how that happened. Yeah, it was a terrible loss. And Giants fans got all excited for it. I'm like, calm down. And I know the Seahawks have that game every year where they're almost like Andy Reid. Pete Carroll's like Andy Reid. He always has a game or two where it's just like, what the heck happened? Like, how do you lose this game? Yeah, Mike Tomlin, all the great coaches do. And I'm just sitting there like, okay, whatever. They're going to be fine for the playoffs. And then they just get destroyed by the Rams. And I'm like, I don't even think the Rams are that great. Like, I thought the only reason they got in the playoffs was because Kyler Murray got hurt. And, you know, credit to Sean McVay for John Wolford and everything he was able to do in that game. But, you know, still, though, they win the NFC West almost every year. Russell Wilson wins 10 games every year. Seattle's always in the playoffs. Russell Wilson is like fifth on the most touchdown passes through 10 seasons, and he's only played 9 of them. So, again, he's probably going to – if he throws like 41 touchdowns this year, I think he passes Manning for that. It's insane. Wilson had a tremendous year last year, still somehow did not get an MVP vote because of Aaron Rodgers. And it's hard not to keep these guys in the top three, top four. And they have won a Super Bowl, and they probably should have two of them.
Yeah, so almost definitely should have two of them. And, I mean, those are the breaks, right? Sometimes you get outcoached and – it happens. Or sometimes you just
out-coach yourself.
Yeah, sometimes you out-coach yourself. Exactly right. Look, I don't have any qualms with where those guys are at number four, given the outcome of the season, given Russell's talent. You know, I think you could make a case that you move if you think that Pete Carroll is going to Pete how they handle the offense this year will determine whether these guys stay at number four or whether they dip down. Maybe they could go. They could certainly go higher if Aaron Rodgers doesn't play and. You know, different aspects to it. But I think if Shane Waldron comes in and this offense still is the same thing that Pete Carroll's run for the last few years, and they're not adapting to the skill sets of Russell Wilson and the talent they have around Russell Wilson at the receiver position, and maybe it's the defense's fault too, then I think there's a decent chance that you see them drop down the board a little bit and, you know, get leapfrogged by somebody like Josh Allen, Sean McDermott. At number three, as I mentioned, Aaron Rodgers and Matt LaFleur. Now, suffice to say, this is not just Packers QB and Matt LaFleur. If it's Jordan Love and Matt LaFleur, they're not on the list, right?
No, they are not. This is clearly Aaron Rodgers and what he does for a living. I mean, the guy has 71 touchdown passes to 9 interceptions over the last 2 years. That's all I got to say about it.
Yeah, I mean, he has to play to maintain the list, but Matt LaFleur, 26-6 as a head coach since coming over to Green Bay. A lot of that is Aaron Rodgers. But look, give him credit. People have been trying to put drama between Aaron Rodgers and Matt LaFleur for the last 2 years, like ever since he got there. I mean, they've been trying to insert the drama, and those guys didn't deal with it. They managed to win a ton of football games and be within a couple of plays of going to, maybe not the first time against San Francisco, but, you know, they could have gone to two more Super Bowls in those first 2 years if things break differently for him. So I think it's a good spot for him as long as Aaron Rodgers plays.
Well, exactly. And that's how I had to do it. Like, I know someone said, how do you put the Packers on there? He might not play. I'm like, well, maybe he will play. It's, you know, they're still together. And I don't think Aaron Rodgers' beef is with Matt LaFleur. I think his beef is with Brian Gutekunst and everybody higher up than him. I don't think it has anything to do with the head coach. I don't think it has anything to do with the players on his team. I think it's just I've been at somewhere for 15 years, and I'm sick and tired of being here.
Hey, I don't ever feel that way, but I can understand how somebody could.
I haven't been at the same place for 15 years, so I wouldn't know.
10 years, you don't feel that way. Maybe 15 you do. I'm not, I mean, I don't know. I really never, but the only place I've been at for 15 years is like my parents' house, I think. Right.
Yeah. Well, I got tired of that too.
I've been at my job for 11 years and I love every day of it, Jeff.
Anyway, that's how I am. I love every day of my job too.
I'm kidding. I do love every day of my job.
I don't hear talking to you, Will.
Exactly. We're talking about top quarterback and coaches. How can I not love every day of it? At number two, I would guess you're catching some heat for this one. Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid at number two. Hello.
And if Chiefs fans know me too well, they know I'm a big Mahomes and Reid stan, so I didn't get the backlash I normally would get from this. So they know how I can pretty much pump out a new Patrick Mahomes stat three times a day, and they'll just eat it up. And Andy Reid, I'll argue he's the better coach of Bill Belichick than the cows come home. So, you know, I think they were just like, I think they were like, okay, we get it. Like, they got destroyed in the Super Bowl. They were number one the year before. That's really what it came down to. They're still really good. I mean, really, the only time Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes lose in the playoffs is to the guy who was number one. And it doesn't matter what uniform he's playing for. So, again, you could look at what Andy Reid's done. He's a top five head coach all time. He's got enough playoff wins to lock up his ball. Huh?
Is he top five all time? I think it's still a bold statement, but it's not a crazy statement.
I think I put him seventh when I actually did the list, and this is before he lost in the Super Bowl. So I think I had Reid like seven, but I think I can make a case he's a top five coach.
Well, and I think also there is an expectation that Andy Reid is going to win another Super Bowl with Patrick Mahomes. That would change his legacy if he did.
I actually think he wins one or two more.
Truthfully,
I will not be surprised I think Andy Reid's going to coach really 70, honestly. And I would not be surprised if 3-4 years from now, Bill Belichick has the most playoff wins and Andy Reid is the second most.
That wouldn't surprise me either. I think it's an interesting exercise to place Andy Reid on the all-time coaching list if he doesn't win another one with Patrick Mahomes. That's interesting. Like if they go to a bunch of
games and lose, because he has Patrick Mahomes.
That's what I'm saying. Don Shula probably should get dinged, RIP and all, but he should probably get dinged a little bit for only, making it to one Super Bowl with Dan Marino, right?
Oh yeah, it's actually incredible. Don Shula was able to win Super Bowls with Bob Greasy, who was a good quarterback in and of his own right, but I do have to give Don Shula some credit though. He did take David Woodley of all people to a Super Bowl.
Don Shula, a very good coach. I'm just saying that, maybe you get Dan Marino, maybe you should win a couple. If Andy Reid only wins one with Patrick Mahomes, that will be wildly disappointing. I don't think it'll happen, but Aaron Rodgers only got one so far. Just saying. Brett Favre only got one.
My biggest fear of Andy Reid actually came true. He did win a Super Bowl not coaching the Eagles, but I got lucky. The Eagles won one before him. So,
that's right. Yes. Well, everybody, it all comes back to Philly. All right. Actually, you know what? You can tie Tom Brady back to Philly too. At number one, obviously, the defending Super Bowl champions, Tom Brady and Bruce Arians. I don't think that anybody would realistically, if you're given simply like blank slate, rest of team, coach and QB, that you are definitely going Brady and Arians in 2021 over Mahomes and Reid. But I respect, Jeff, your deferral here to the fact that Tom Brady and Bruce Arians just beat Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes. Like, the last football game we saw was a head-to-head victory. It would be tough to flip them and to put Tom Brady at number two after he just beat the guy who would ostensibly be number one.
Exactly. That's pretty much what I did. It was, okay, the last football game I watched, Tom Brady and Bruce Arians beat those two. And they are the only two to pretty much beat Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes. Well, Patrick Mahomes has two playoff losses in his life. They're to Tom Brady.
Yeah.
It's actually incredible. Like, and I had to give Arians,
which is interesting.
Yeah, exactly. And here's the thing: I had to give Arians a ton of credit for Brady. He unleashed a new dimension of Brady's game. Brady was throwing a lot more deep passes than he ever did under Belichick. He threw 40 touchdown passes, which is insane. I actually thought he was going to throw his age at one point in the season. Brady got better during the year. He was, you know, he was a top five quarterback in a lot of statistics last year, and he hasn't been that probably since 2017. When they lost Super Bowl to the Eagles, that was probably the last time I thought Tom Brady was elite. Like, Tom Brady kind of faded a bit over those last 2 years, even though we won a Super Bowl. It just was. You know, I don't know if it was the offense, the weapons around, or whatever, but you give him Chris Godwin, you give him Mike Evans, who underrated, you know, Rob Gronkowski comes back, a decent offensive line. I shouldn't even say decent, a good offensive line.
Really good offensive line, yeah.
Yeah, a very good defense, a very good pass rush, and look what he does. And he did not have to carry that team to a Super Bowl, and he still found a way to play at his best in when they needed him to. Like, Tom Brady could have had a terrible Super Bowl. He didn't. He played really well, and I was amazed by what the Bucs were able to do to that team. Just put them away early and make Patrick Mahomes throw these incredible passes that we all raved about after the game. And I'm just like, man, you know, how bad would this team have even scored a point if Patrick Mahomes was their quarterback? I don't know. And they want to rip Andy Reid for that game. I'm like, what did Andy Reid really have to work with?
Yeah, I do think – at the end of the day, there was probably some game planning issues with how they ran their offense, the Chiefs did. And I actually think you can tie part of it back to whatever was going on off the field with that coaching staff and inside of Andy Reid's family. Like, I don't think that helped. That, you know, that is a distraction, and that's just sort of how it works. But the Bucs came to play, and the Bucs were the better team that day by far and away. And the Bucs played some tomato cans down the stretch. They had two against Atlanta. Minnesota was pretty bad. Detroit's obviously terrible. And they lost to L.A. and Kansas City by a total of 6 points. I'm looking at the final seven-game stretch of the season. But Brady completed 66.3% of his passes, averaged 320 yards per game, 20 touchdowns, five picks, just sacked eight times, and 8.5 yards per attempt. And the reason I look at the second half, and his first nine games were actually really good too. But the reason I look at that, I think that I probably got fooled by the Buccaneers struggling against better defenses in the first half, and they did. They lost to the Saints. They lost to the Bears. They lost to the Saints twice, actually. But I think in reality what it was is, you know, it was a weird offseason for everybody. Real weird if you were switching teams, switching cities, going to your first new team in 20 years. And it took Tom Brady a little while to acclimate. It took him and Bruce Arians a little while to form that partnership completely. And when they did, they started cooking with complete gas. And they were shredding anything that was remotely a questionable defense. That's one of my biggest questions going into 2021, Jeff, is that what the Buccaneers are going to be for a full season? Because if it is, they're going to win 15 or 16 or 17 games.
That's all I'm worried about, too. And they have all 22 starters. Like, I don't think anybody has a chance in the NFC South because of Tampa Bay. And I'm thinking to myself, are they going to be like how the Lightning were in the NHL? They're just going to roll through everybody because they had a full year to get her under their belt? It seriously could be that. Like, if you look at the NFC as a whole, the NFC West is going to beat each other up, all four of those teams.
Sure.
The NFC East stinks. I'm sorry. They stink. The NFC North stinks, too.
You're not going to apologize for ripping the NFC East, I don't think, on it anywhere.
Oh, I'll always rip them. The NFC North isn't good. If Aaron Rodgers leaves, they're not going to be good. So who is it? Is it Tampa Bay versus the field? You know, I'll take Tampa Bay. They're by far the best team. I honestly thought the best team to beat them this year probably comes out of the NFC West, whoever that will be. And if the Rams actually live up to the hype with Matthew Stafford and Sean McVay, then maybe we got something here. But I don't know. It's, to me, it's, you know, Tampa Bay's in the NFC, and the AFC's absolutely loaded.
I think the Rams or the 49ers, and maybe even the Seahawks to a small degree, just because they have Russell Wilson. I don't want to bet against Russell Wilson. And the Packers, if they have Aaron Rodgers. I think, you know, that's competition there for the Buccaneers. But if the Buccaneers stay healthy, and what we saw in the second half is what the Buccaneers really are, then they're going to shred that division. They're going to be right back in the Super Bowl. I would throw out, I think your point's good. I may have made this point a few, like a month or so ago, and I think I forgot to bet it. The Buccaneers are minus 200 to win the NFC South. That's probably short. It should be like minus 400. honestly. Like, that's it's a lot of juice because
minus 200. I bet now.
I know. That's what I'm saying. At William Hill right now, Bucks minus 200, Saints 3-1, Falcons 8-1, Panthers 12-1. I mean, the Buccaneers should steamroll that division unless Jameis Winston just has us all snookered and Sean Payton's got something big up his sleeve, which I find a little hard to believe with how the Buck played down the stretch last season. So,
yeah,
that may be another one of our best bets.
Honestly, like minus 200, that's, you know, criminal. Like, I'm surprised that that number isn't lower at this point. Like, it's Tampa Bay should win 12 games.
Yep.
No matter what, they should win 12 games. And can anybody in that division win 12 games? I don't think so.
Yeah. The Chiefs are minus 320 to win their division. I see the Chargers and Broncos. I mean, obviously the Broncos, if they got Aaron Rodgers, would be different stories. That may be priced into it. But I mean, to me, the Bucs are probably closer to the Chiefs in terms of their relative skill set and the rest of the division than they are even the Bills, who are minus 155. I think the Bills and Bucs to win those divisions are good bets. That's just me.
Yeah, the Broncos are probably the first team in the history of the NFL, thanks to my colleagues at CBS Sports, to be overrated and underrated in the same week.
That's right. Yes, that is what happens when you are in the running for Aaron Rodgers. All right, this is a good talk on QB and coach duos, Jeff. Excellent stuff as always, buddy, and we will talk to you soon, man.
Yeah, sounds great. Thanks, Will. I'm sure once CBS Sports HQ decides to make this put that banner up of my top 10, I'm sure Bills fans will be all over
the place. Oh, yeah. You're going to get lit up pretty soon. As soon as you get that banner rolling, you're going to be, your mentions will be lit up. So is it Jeff Kerr CBS or Jay Kerr CBS? I can't remember.
It's Jeff Kerr CBS.
Jeff Kerr CBS. So if you don't like the rankings, go tweet at him. And while you're online, go make sure and vote for the podcast awards. All right, buddy. Talk to you soon. It's the NFL offseason, but on Pick 6, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, the football season never stops. Host Will Brinson, John Breach, and Tyler Sullivan are joined by analysts like Brady Quinn, Leslie Deuceable, Katie Mox, and RJ White to keep you in the loop on everything happening around the league. Whether it's free agents signing with new teams, the all-important NFL draft, or schedule release day, Pick 6 has you covered. As the face of the league changes with every team move and player pickup this spring, Pick 6 is a must listen. Download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, the Odyssey app, and anywhere podcasts are found.